Hey there, Alex Michelson here. Welcome to the Issue Is podcast on what is another crazy week in politics, but I think we should just say that every week, crazy week. We had a really fun panel this week who's entertaining as well as insightful. Tim Conway Jr., one of our favorites, Melissa Rivers, and Sarah Azari all joining us in just a moment. But we begin this week with a look at Orange County politics, which of course had this earthquake that now all the Democrats are going to be in charge there instead of Republicans. One of the guys who led that charge is Harley Ruda, a guy who used to be a Republican, now a Democrat, just beat one of the most well-known politicians in all of Orange County history. So what does he do with that? Where does he go from here? We talked to him, and here's what he had to say.
Our guest just defeated 30-year incumbent Republican Congressman Dana Rohrabacher. Harley Ruda is the congressman-elect for the 48th District in Orange County. Congratulations, congressman-elect. How's that sound?
Thanks, Alex, and thanks for having me on the show. And I'm still getting used to hearing that.
Well, what do you think is the message sent by your election? You're in a district that has 10 or 11% more Republicans than Democrats, and yet you still won.
I think people want politicians, especially now, that are civil and willing to reach across the aisle and put country and community first. That's what we ran on all along, this sense that we need moderates back in office. And that resonated in a big way. I mean, when you look at the vote turnout and the fact that we won by 7.2%, even though he had won by 17% just 2 years ago, shows how much the country has come to a point where they just can't take this current situation of the partisan bickering.
Well, you say we need moderates, but we've seen so much more of the energy on the left and on the right. What does governing as a moderate actually look like?
Most Americans are between the 20-yard lines. And when we allow our politics to be dictated by the fringes, we're not going to get anything done.
So what are you going to work with Republicans on? What can you get accomplished with a Republican?
There's several areas. First and foremost, at the top of the list is infrastructure and climate change, because they go hand in hand. So when we look at the United States, spends about 2.5% of our GDP on infrastructure, and that's about half of what the European Union nations spend and about one-third of what China spends. It's also an opportunity to address climate change, because how we source, build, construct, and manage and maintain our infrastructure causes different levels of the carbon footprint and climate change.
So you're about to be a member of Congress. We've seen this shouting match this week between the Democratic leadership in Congress and the President of the United States over this issue of border funding, potentially shutting down the government over this. You're going to be responsible for voting on these issues soon. Where do we go? I mean, and why not just give the president his border wall?
You know, it's a great question, because when you asked about bipartisan opportunities, here's another one. I do believe that we can find comprehensive immigration reform. Yeah, I think the wall is a euphemism for border security. And a wall doesn't make sense. We know it doesn't make sense. We know the Army Corps of Engineers knows it doesn't make sense. But what does make sense is fencing, drones, and having appropriate new technologies addressing our border security.
Just on a human level, you've now been to Capitol Hill for freshman orientation. What are you most excited about? What are you most surprised about when you're actually there? Because I know you had this moment meeting with Congressman Rohrabacher. What was that like?
Well, I'm excited to focus on bipartisan legislation and find moderates both within the Democratic Party as well as across the aisle, because the only lasting legislation is a legislation that is supported by both parties to some degree. So that's going to be my focus. And meeting with Congressman Rohrabacher, I appreciate his willingness to meet, and second, to hand over the reins of the 48th District in a constructive way. I think that's what we want to see in our democracy, that yes, you can go out and you can fight a hard campaign, but regardless of the outcome, we put our country first, our democracy first, and have an appropriate shifting and transfer of power.
You know, you were once a Republican, now Orange County entirely Democratic in terms of the House. What do you think about that? Are you surprised by that?
I'm not surprised, because the Republican Party that I used to be a member of is much different today than it was back then. When I was a Republican, you had Republicans who believed in environmental stewardship. You had Republicans who believed in a woman's right, who believed in voting rights, who believed in civil rights. And they believed in a balanced budget or having surpluses. All of those issues are on the back burner at best, if not off the stovetop altogether, with the current administration. And so in many ways, people who have voted for me in these other districts, many of them being Republicans, feel that the Republican Party has left them and has left common sense.
All right. Well, Congresswoman-elect Harley Ruta, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations to you. Thank you for joining us from one of the most beautiful parts of Southern California, Newport Beach. I'm jealous that you're there. And come back and visit us sometime soon. A reminder that our show is available in podcast form. Search for The Issue Is wherever you stream. So much to get into with our panel this week. Check them out right there. Tim Conway Jr., Melissa Rivers, Sarah Azari, as we listen to The Boss, Bruce Springsteen, my favorite Christmas song. A lot of love to our crew for this special holiday setup over there. Special shout out, floor manager Matt Palazzo. Nice job. We'll be right back. More of The Issue Is right after this. My favorite show of all time, The West Wing, portrayed presidential politics as not just a beacon of democracy, but of civility as well. I love hearing that song. Well, 12 years ago, The West Wing went off the air. It really did show us the best of politics. There are several shows that now highlight the worst, perhaps none funnier than Veep. And one moment in the real-life Oval Office this week felt like it needed the soundtrack to the HBO show added to it. Take a look.
The fact is, we do not have the votes in the House.
Nancy, I do. And we need border security. Nancy, we need border security. It's very simple. We need border security.
Let's talk about this all with our panel from this week. Welcome to them. Melissa Rivers is a television host, author, producer, equestrian, and more. And she knows President Trump in a different way than most. She once even served as a contestant on The Celebrity Apprentice, along with her mother, the late, great Joan Rivers. And speaking of someone with a legendarily funny parent, the hysterical Tim Conway Jr. is here. Ding,
ding
dong.
Along with you.
A happy 85th birthday to his dad.
85 tomorrow. Isn't that great?
Wow. And this is Tim's fourth time on the show. Welcome to the Four Timers Club.
You get a jacket.
Yes, of course.
It says Metro on it.
You can hear Tim weeknights on KFI AM 640 from 6 to 10. It's been so much fun for me to call in on the show several times recently, so thank you for the invite.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Sarah Azari is an LA-based criminal defense attorney. She can often be seen all over TV providing legal commentary on every major network, but of course her favorite is right here on Good Day LA on Fox 11. Good to have all you guys. And yeah, that's a Metro jacket, right?
LAPD Metro, top of the top. And by the way, Sarah, I was on Ambien one night, nude in 7-Eleven. And
why
if it wasn't for Sarah, I would have been still in prison. So thank you.
We wouldn't have him here without you. So thank you, Sarah.
Thanks.
All right, so let's talk about this crazy meeting. We have this moment right there. This is how the New York Post said it. Fight House, fourscore and... What do you make, Melissa, of whatever that was?
It was like, I you don't even know what to say other than I would check the guide on the TV to make sure, like, that I wasn't watching something else. It was insane. I mean, it was like a brawl. It was just ridiculous. And Nancy Pelosi just being told, like, shh. I think was, you know,
right.
I've got the votes. No, you don't. And then Chuck Schumer in the middle of it, that I am surprised that Trump didn't turn around and go like, hush up, Chucky. Like, I was waiting for something like that. And Pence, the memes that have been going around.
Right.
Well, genius.
We'll talk about that in a moment. Yeah. What did you guys think of?
It is, that's what we should be seeing, full disclosure on what these people really think. It was great. And if it's done all behind closed doors, they can hide and manipulate, you know, their policy and stuff like that. But when it's on TV and it's right there, they're battling each other. That's one of the greatest small little debates we've seen in years. I mean, Obama never did it. Bush never did it. You know, even Reagan, nobody's done this.
Do you think this was a real debate, or do you think this was putting on a show for the cameras?
No, I don't think, I think it was genuine. I think it was a real debate, and I think this might be the only transparent thing about this administration. But, you know, aside from the reality TV aspect of what we saw, I think it's just really sad that we can't come together and resolve issues despite our politics.
I mean, sort of this is what divided government looks like potentially for President Trump. He hasn't had to deal with the Democratic Congress before, and this might be a preview of what's to come.
Well, the fact that he looked at Nancy Pelosi and said, I've got the vote. And she's like, no, I actually am in charge. You don't, yeah, uh-huh. That was like, I'm surprised, by the way, if it had been me, it would have been a string of profanities.
Right, well, this is his last shot at getting the wall. And if he doesn't have that wall either funded or started by his election in 2020, it's going to be a landslide for the Democrats.
Well, let's talk for a moment about the other person in the room, Vice President Mike Pence, who said nothing at all and looked kind of like a mannequin. That quickly turned into an internet meme, as Melissa mentioned. For example, this posting with the caption, your vice president's going into sleep mode. Please press the power button and wake it up. This one, which reads, I used Mike Pence to cheat the carpool lane and then got pulled over. And this one that purports to show what Mike Pence was seeing when he closed his eyes. That's right, an actual train wreck.
Did you see did you see the one where they freeze it and they start the Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Oh, yeah.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah. Right.
And Elf on a Shelf.
And Elf on a Shelf.
Made him Elf on a Shelf. I mean, what do you make, though, of Mike Pence? And what is going through
Why was he there to begin with?
Well, I think he was there just to check the box. But, you know, I think it was just, speaking of government shutdown, I mean, the man was like shut down and off. Like he was completely, it was almost like, I don't have anything to do with this. Like,
right.
Whatever is going on.
He's there to get the religious evangelical votes.
Right, yes.
Period.
I think he was deciding what carpet he would change, which drapes are going to look better.
Right.
I think he was starting to redecorate.
Yeah. He might be on his way in.
Well, coming up, we're going to talk about Michael Cohen not having the best week. And what does that mean for President Trump? And as we go to break, little Darlene Love, one of my favorite Christmas songs as well.
Beautiful.
Welcome back to The Issue Is. For a while, Michael Cohen tried to fight the law, but this week, the law won. Cohen sentenced to 3 years for campaign finance violations and lying to Congress. Cohen talking about it all in an interview with ABC News' George Stephanopoulos on Good Morning America.
He's saying very clearly that he never directed you to do anything wrong. Is that true?
I don't think there's anybody that believes that. First of all, nothing at the Trump Organization was ever done unless it was run through Mr. Trump. He directed me, as I said in my allocution, and I said as well in the plea, he directed me to make the payments. He directed me to become involved in these matters.
So let's talk all about that with our panel, Melissa Rivers, Tim Conway Jr., Sarah Azari. Real quickly, Melissa, I know you said outfit choice was bad.
Oh, no. If you go back and look, I think they needed someone to come and tug the jack down, and maybe it would have suggested it was pulling a little, unbutton it. Would have liked a collared shirt with a tie.
Yeah. What was he doing, sitting on a bed in a guest house?
Doesn't it look like this? It's like you wanted to sit up, you want to...
Let's get right. The substance of it.
Look, he's a rat, is what he is. Look, Alex, if I knew you killed somebody and the cops asked me if you did it, I would go to prison for you
really?
For the rest of my life.
I don't even know you that well.
Sarah, and I doubt that.
He's
Sarah,
a
let's,
rat
let's talk
is what
about,
he is.
About the legality of this, because this is your wheelhouse.
Right.
What do you make of the legality of this and also the politics of this?
Okay, let's talk about the legalities. Okay, so he has pled. The judge has accepted his plea. He's been sentenced to 3 years in prison. And although he might be able to reduce the sentence under Rule 35, that's what he's facing right now. And the issue here is that in his plea agreement, there's almost a very explicit reference to individual one who's identified as Donald Trump, as having directed him to pay the hush monies, which are campaign finance violations. And Donald Trump's tweets, as expected, are that this is all BS, that he's lying, he's trying to get a better prison sentence. It's not going to fly because guess what? He's not the first rat, as you put him.
Exactly.
He's not the first rat, and he's not going to be the last rat in the federal justice system. Prosecutors go with corroborating evidence. They're not just relying on what Michael Cohen has given them in terms of his words. So even if Michael Cohen lied to them about certain things and he's mad at him and they're throwing him under the bus with the 3 years, they have corroboration. For example, they have the AMI meeting that occurred with David Pecker and Michael Cohen. Donald Trump was at that meeting. And prosecutors, although they have to prove that Donald Trump knew that these monies were illegal, not that they should be paid, but that they were also illegal, that's also, there's evidence of that, because in 2012, Donald Trump tweeted that he was aware of what the law is with respect to Edwards.
Right, and AMI, for people that may not know, is the company that owns the National Enquirer.
Exactly.
It's the guy that owned it, who was friends with Donald Trump.
And that was
Karen McDougal, and also potentially some of these stories with Ted Cruz or other things that happened during the campaign.
So there's a lot of corroboration. Yeah. For Michael Cohen's, the factual background that's in his plea agreement.
But you still think that Cohen's wrong for talking?
Cohen's a rat. He's an absolute, look, if this was the mafia and he came out like this, he'd be dead by the time the sun set
it's
tonight.
It's not the mafia, it's the president of the United States.
That's why he's doing it, because it's safe. It's president of the United States. But he surrounds himself with these weak characters like Michael Cohen. This guy's going to be ashamed of himself. The way he was raised,
what has become clear these past couple of weeks with these plea agreements and some of the sentencing memos is that the president has surrounded himself with people that lie for him. No, they lie for him. And
that's
then
what they're supposed to do.
Yeah. No, and then when they tell the truth, because the law comes down on them, then suddenly they're weak and
that's
they're
right.
rats and they're this and that. And right. You know what? That is, the president should not be lying.
That's number one. Number two, you can call morale or whatever. At one point, you have to decide what is more important, your family, your wife, your daughter, or protecting someone who is not going to have your back.
No. Right. No, right. This guy made a lot
Donald
of money
Trump
off Donald
is
Trump.
It's about the me, not about the we. He's that
way. He's out there saying, yeah. Paul Manafort, I'm going to pardon him. Never said a word about Michael Cohen. Never said, I will take care of his feelings. Like, at one point, you do have to choose your family.
And you think you made the right call.
And he wasn't even on the pardon list.
Yeah. At one point you
said... He's a weak guy.
Speaking of, by the way, what's going to happen to... How about Maria Butina, the Russian who now is pleading guilty? What's going to happen to her when
she's
out of prison?
And now she's
got to deal with the Russian government and admitting to, you know, talk about being concerned for your safety.
How is that woman not going to get killed? Putin and all the guys, you know, in the Kremlin, they said they never even heard of this woman before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I don't know. I mean, I've heard of her, and I live in Burbank.
A quick programming note, that next week, former California Senator Barbara Boxer is going to be here for a rare interview, plus legends from the left and the right, political strategist Bob Schramm, Mike Murphy, will discuss their unlikely partnership that's now helping both sides here in Southern California. Up next on this week's show, they are two of the most prominent sought-after jobs in the world, at least they used to be, so why does no one want them? Stay with us. And now we're listening to a little Mariah Carey. Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
Oh, this is it. Let's crank
this
it.
This is it.
Beautiful. See if she can hit those high notes still.
On the record, she can.
Live.
Live, not so much. I need somebody help, not just anybody. A Help Wanted sign posted at the Dolby Theater in Hollywood tonight. The Oscars still without a host after Kevin Hart suddenly quit the job due to his past homophobic remarks coming out. It's one of several high-profile jobs we're discussing with our panel. We've got two smart, beautiful, talented women in Tim Conway
Jr. Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have Melissa Rivers and Sarah Zari with us as well. So around the table real quick, Sarah, we'll start with you. Who should host the Oscars?
I think Amy Schumer. She's socially aware. She's entertaining. She's funny. She's influential. But
she's
really,
pregnant.
Whoever takes this spot is, hey, don't interrupt. Yeah. Whoever takes the spot is second choice. I mean, it's difficult.
Yeah, Tim?
Carol Burnett for both.
Yeah.
For hosting the Oscars. Look, she could do it. It brings back, or a hologram of Johnny Carson, right? That'd be beautiful.
Yes.
I'm stealing from Michael Musto. who said it brilliantly? Wanda Sykes.
Oh, Wanda Sykes would be a good pick.
Would be a really interesting host.
You know who's interesting, who threw himself his name in the ring this week? Ken Jeong. From The Hangover and Dr. Ken, he said he'd like to do it. And on this year where we celebrate Crazy Rich Asians, I think it would be interesting to see him.
Right. And also, Carol Burnett has less homophobic comments on her Twitter than Kevin Hart does.
Yeah, and she's been around a long time. When I can't need a little help from my friends, I turn to this song, and I'm grateful as well to my friends for providing a little help with the panel tonight.
Thank you guys very much.
Nicely done. Ding dong.
Alex Michelson.
There we go.
Big stud.
Have a good weekend, everybody. We're going to see you Monday on Good Day LA.
So we'll see who ends up getting that Oscar hosting gig. Let me know who you want to see in social media. Connect with me at Alex Michelson. Also, please subscribe to this podcast. The issue is, let your friends know about it. Write a review. That's how people find out about us and how we keep doing more shows. Thank you so much. Have a happy holidays, everyone. And don't forget to watch us on TV as well every Friday night at 10:30 p.m. on Fox 11 Los Angeles. I'm Alex Michelson. Have a great week.